Welcome to Rewatchable episode 52, where we are watching Pushing Daisies episodes 1, Pilot, I think I said that right, and episode 2, Dummy. I know I said that right. Today, joining us on the podcast are Brandy, Christine, Ariana, and myself, Kyle. Hey, ladies.
Hello.
Have any contact requests, like if you want to give us your favorite lines, favorite quotes, yada yada yada, you can email us. If you've listened to us before, you basically know this whole thing, but if you've just started listening to us for the first time, the email is rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. you can tweet us your reactions at twitter.com/re_watchable. And you can also comment on any rewatchable post on hypeable.com. So let's just get to episode 1, because I'm really excited to talk about this. Did you guys like the show so far?
I did. It was a lot funnier than I thought it was going to be, which I'm glad it was more of a comedy than I had thought. So, yeah, I like it.
Oh, yeah. Were you expecting something, like, way darker?
I really was. Once I found out that, you know, he was bringing people back from the dead, I was like, oh, okay, this could really go many places, but it went somewhere that I didn't expect, so I'm digging it. I like it.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah, it does go way off the spectrum of what you assume when you hear dead people. Does anyone want to read the episode synopsis for Pilot?
Okay, episode 1, Pilot. In the pilot episode of Pushing Daisies, we are Ned, a pie baker with an exceedingly pale complexion who also happens to be able to bring people back from the dead. When his childhood sweetheart, Chuck, who is not a boy, is mysteriously murdered on a boat, he teams up with his private investigator business partner, Emerson Codd, to catch the killer. But when Ned can't bring himself to let go of Chuck, she ends up staying alive to help out her own murder case. After figuring out that Chuck was a monkey smuggler on the boat, the pie team ends up at the house of her recluse aunts, where Aunt Lily defenestrates the happy face bag killer with her shotgun. In the end, Ned and Chuck have their gold monkeys make out with each other, which was awesome, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to be clear that it was defenestrates, because that can be, like, misconstrued as other words, similar to the whole, like, masticate, masturbate issue we had going on in this episode.
So. Yeah, which was awkward. Yeah.
So I think the episode in general was, like, a really awesome pilot. So, like, let's start with the noobs. And the noobs are Christine and Brandy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Got it. All right. So what did you think?
Oh, me too. I've never seen it before.
Wait, you're all noobs?
Yeah.
Yes!
Oh, my okay. God.
All right. So, Brandy, what did you think of the show? Like, your first impression?
Yeah, the pilot. It was good. I liked it in the beginning how it was when he was younger. It was all the past. And it kind of told us a story about how he figured out this. Is it a superpower, I guess? I don't know. This superpower that he has, and that he ultimately killed his mom and killed his future, I don't know, girlfriend's dad as well. But I liked how, you know, they played out to the past in the beginning, and then they kind of just shot to him being this pie baker and ultimately solving her murder and bringing her back to life. So it kind of went, I liked how it went full circle in the first episode. That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. A lot of shows probably would have, like, taken this opportunity to find out Chuck's murder at, like, at the end of the season, or, like, the end of the complete show. So I really like the fact that Pushing Daisies was like, nope, whoop, we're going to get this all in one foul swoop.
Yeah, they got it over with and ready to go. I agree.
Awesome. What did you think, Christine?
I loved it. I just, like, visually, it's obviously so stunning that you kind of can't, like, look away from it. I don't know if you guys have ever seen, have you seen Amelie before?
No.
No.
It's like this, like, movie, but it's just kind of, like, the same, like, the colors are crazy, and I just, like, I think that kind of what attracts me most to it, that, like, the colors are just so ridiculous, and I love it, and I hope that, like, I'm assuming it's going to continue throughout the whole series, but, and as a pilot, just that, what Brandy was saying, it's just, like, a mini movie, which was really cool. But yeah, I really liked it. I don't really know how I feel about Chuck, though.
Really?
I, like, don't know if I really like her. Yeah, I know she's supposed to be, like, really adorable, but something about her kind of, I don't know, which, you know, hopefully that'll change, though.
Maybe it's the fact that she plays a pirate in, like, that she plays Captain Hook in the Peter Pan sci-fi adaptation. So, after really? After I saw this, and after I saw that, I was like, ooh, Chuck got kind of creepy.
Oh my gosh, I want to see that.
Ariana, what did you think of the pilot?
Well, I think I'm going to have an unpopular opinion, so sorry, guys. I thought it was visually stunning, of course. I was going through and just, like, writing, beautiful, beautiful, so beautiful. Particularly the shot where Kristen Chenoweth and Chuck opened the door at the same time, and it was, like, shot from the bottom. I know I'm getting, like, way too into this, but I thought that was stunning. But as for, like, what was actually going on in the show, I felt like there was something wanting, I guess. Like, I watched the episode, and I was kind of into it, but at the end, like, if we didn't have the podcast, I don't know if I would have plugged in the second episode. Like, there was nothing left for me to continue watching. It was almost like it was made as its own movie, I felt like.
So you wish, basically, self-contained, that they had, like, an open plot line or something, or, like, an open story arc that would have
Like, almost the opposite of what Brandy said. I thought that they were going to continue on with Chuck's mystery. Like, what was going on? Something deeper. But it looks like it's not. Like, it's just going to end. And that's it. So I don't really...
That's interesting.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are definitely people around who don't like Pushing Daisies. And it's actually really interesting that, like, you like the show, kind of, but you don't like the fact that, like, it did end full circle.
I also feel like there's something a little bit empty about the characters right now at the moment, which I think we can talk about. I think it's one of the points. Like, do they feel three-dimensional? And I feel like at the moment, they don't feel three-dimensional to me, with perhaps the exception of Olive.
Yeah, so. Olive does, she does have a lot of character development, kind of, like, or at least I feel like you get to identify more with Olive than you would with Ned or Chuck at this point.
Yeah.
Like, the show in general is just, it's really wholesome. Like, it's, you think about dead people, and like Brandy said, I believe, like, you do not expect it to be all so happy and whatnot. But I think another awesome thing about Pushing Daisies that you don't expect is it to be so wholesome. There's no blood. When people look at a dead body, the dead body has, like, this comical after effect of what they would have looked like if they died in, like, a fairy tale. And I loved it. Like, when they're seeing the person who got attacked by the dog, and he just had this, like, hole in his face, but, like, it was the only thing wrong, and it didn't even look that bad. Like, I loved it. Did you guys like the fact that it was kind of, like, fairy tale-ish and, like, just not realistic at all? Like, they weren't even trying to be real. They were just like, this is fake.
What you're saying, it just reminded me what this pilot reminded me of. Of, like, the first time I watched Once Upon a Time, the pilot, I was, like, I know everybody loved it, but I was not super into it, because I felt like, it felt like this, like, very fairy tale, where it's like, okay, Snow White is perfect, Prince Charming is perfect, yada, yada, yada. That's kind of how I felt with Ned and Chuck. But hopefully they will develop and we'll see some more three-dimensional people. That's how I feel.
I get that.
I agree with you, actually, because I didn't like Once Upon a Time for the pilot either. It was too cookie cutter. Like, it was just too black and white, I guess. But now I love it. And the first episode of Pushing Daisies was a bit too, you know, it's very cookie cutter. And everyone's so happy-go-lucky once you wake them up to let them know that they're dead. I'm, whoa, hold yeah. on.
I need what to do you sure. mean I'm dead?
Exactly. I think I would just be freaking out. I'd be like, oh my God, I have so much left to do. No, but everyone just seems like super cool with it. So I was like, all right, well, I guess this is how the show is going to be. But I mean, it's fine. I do also agree with Christine on, what's her name, Chuck. There's something about her that I think it's not sitting well with me either. And I just have a feeling because she keeps saying stuff like, oh, I, you know, I'm not this good hometown girl or whatever. So I'm hoping that maybe we'll find stuff out later on.
That would be there's... awesome. Remember how she stole that security guard guy's ID card?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, to me, I just feel like she seems like she's a little too perfect. Yeah. Like, even, like, her, like, stealing stuff, it's, like, cute and adorable. And I'm just like, I don't know. It just needs more for me from her, I feel like.
We're going to see a lot more about Chuck as the season progresses, so I can't say what, obviously, but I can tell you that her character does develop at least a little bit.
Well, that's good because she's the main character, so
yeah
she doesn't
know.
She doesn't stay this like perfect kind of little girl who also has the ability to like steal and stuff. There are some interesting twists in the show. I'll just say that
at the moment. Do you girls see her as, like, the typical manic pixie dream girl stereotype? Or do you think she subverts the stereotype?
It could go either way, but I totally see her as she's so bubbly. But also, I feel like Ned needs to man up to her. She, like, runs him already. I'm like, what
yeah,
is up with
Ned
that?
Is, like, he's so cute. He's, like, so afraid of touching anything that's not dead. And even if he touches something that's dead, he's really afraid of not touching it in time and causing another person to die. Which, I just want to talk about Ned for a little bit. Do you think he's, like, living in this fantasy world and, like, where he's just on his own, he has his pie shop, he has Kristen Chenoweth, but, like, he's totally in his own zone. He doesn't realize what's happening in the real world, like, whatsoever. Like, what do you think about that?
He seems so closeted and confined, like he self-restrains himself from being a normal human.
I think,
which I guess I can understand since he's scared of his powers, but I guess I don't really understand why he doesn't like touching live people.
Well, like
I don't get that either.
I had a theory when I was watching this for the first time, and I feel like he's scared because he doesn't know anyone else who might or may not have this power, and if he touches someone who was already dead and brought back to life, he's scared that anyone he touches might die because he has no idea if he's the only one who has this power.
That makes sense.
Or at least that's how that's I true. Lined it up in my head.
Well, that makes him sound the most sane out of all the other possibilities, so let's go with that.
Do you guys have any theories?
Yeah.
About his powers and like because they came to him when he was like 9, it just kind of like popped up. So like, do you have any questions or theories about how he got these abilities or like what's going on with that
radioactive spider?
Well, what I've learned from watching the many 1-5 too many shows that I've watched, almost never the only one that has the superpower that you have. You know, you're not, and it's normally not obsolete either. So I kind of think there has to be at least one other person who can do what he does. But I have no, I mean, 9 years old, I'm used to hearing, you know, like 13, 16 years old. Because 9 years old, being able to bring somebody back from the dead and realizing it at that age, that's some serious stuff.
What I thought was weird is that he never touched his dog again. Like, before he touched his mother?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't like pet him to say, thank God you're alive, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Wait, so I have a question actually about, so Digby then, like, does he not age then after that?
Oh, the
dog?
Like,
isn't he like 28 now? Yeah.
Oh. I didn't think about
That's what I was like. Because they, like, I think, like, Chuck made a point being like, is that still, you know, like, the dog from when you were a kid? Like, dogs definitely don't live that long.
Yeah.
He doesn't remember.
It is the same dog, because I had to look up the dog's name, and it says that he never ages. So, does that mean that Chuck is never going to age?
Yeah.
Because that's uncomfortable.
That is uncomfortable.
Yeah. So, I don't know if that's, like, something they're going to address, or if that's just kind of a plot hole. I don't know.
Yeah, good point.
I think it's not so much. It's not so much a plot hole, but like a story arc that they probably plan on addressing in the future. And I will not say if they do or if they don't. But I will say that because the show ended so early, there are actually a lot of things like her age and her, the dog's aging, that you don't get answers of. Not saying that her age is not answered, but I'm not saying it is either.
to the exact minutes and seconds, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, which I think is awesome. Jim Dale with the like the narrating everyone's age and just everything so awesomely.
Yeah, such a good narrator voice.
Oh like, yeah,
so who soothing.
And for some reason, I find it completely fitting for Pushing Daisies. I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if it's because he has a weird voice or what, but I just think that it was 100% perfect for the show.
Yeah, it makes it more quirky, kind of, in a weird way, I guess.
I think he gets some of the funniest lines, too, the narrator.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, I just want to talk about the actual, like, plot of the show, where they start off and he's investigating the murder of this guy who got attacked by a dog. And then it was someone else's dog who was attacked because the owner was like, no, I hate you. Die. Ah. And then he sees the murder of Chuck on the TV. He goes, he figures out who murders her kind of at her aunt's house when the smuggler is coming back for the two golden monkeys that they had Chuck smuggle, which, by the way, I feel like anyone who offers you a free trip as long as you take this suitcase, it's a little suspicious. I feel like she shouldn't have taken that.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was like gonna break open the monkey's head since it's gonna be full of drugs inside, but
me too. A bowl of cocaine.
Oh, that'd be hysterical. Something. Instead of, like, gold monkeys, just white powder. It crashes everywhere. But, like, so Chuck's murder was solved really easily. It was basically just the guy who murdered her came to her house to murder everyone. And because, I think it was Vivian. I forget their aunt's names. No, it was Lily. Aunt Lily survived because she used to be a swimmer. And so she held her breath, and when the guy came back, she shot him.
I didn't even realize that. That's true.
Yeah, because her and her sister were swimming performers. Or what are they called? They were like the marvelous
synchronized
mermaids.
They were synchronized
swimmers. Synchronized swimmers. Exactly. So I actually like the fact that her murder was solved so quickly. And it's not, I don't know if it was necessarily like solved, but, like, just taken care of right away. Like, the guy who killed her, you got him out of the way. Like, done. I think it opens up the show to a whole bunch of other aspects that they could start going on now instead of focusing on this one drama, you know? Or is that just me? Are you guys just like, no?
I agree with you. I'm happy they kind of got it out of the way, but also just because I'm not sure how I feel about Chuck yet, so I'm happy that they're not just focusing on her murder for, like, an entire season or the series.
I'm not happy. I wish they would focus on her murder so that she would have a purpose rather than only being there. But
that's true.
Did you guys like the happy face?
More to Chuck.
The happy face was creepy.
It was so creepy.
I think the happy face was great because it just summarizes the show so perfectly. Like, on the outside, it's just a little happy, bright yellow face, and really, it's used to kill people and crush your hearts. So, I mean, that's the show, not the bag, obviously. But what did you guys think of her aunts? Like, we've kind of talked about Chuck and Ned, but the other characters in the show, like the aunts, Emerson, Olive, what are you guys' opinions on them?
Her aunt is such a badass. She shot that guy and she only has one eye, so she doesn't have like full vision.
And her eye patch was awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
That was totally cool. I really like Emerson. He seems real. I mean, that's how I picture kind of like private eye detectives to be, kind of just money hungry guys who just want the easy way out to solve cases and get the money. And the whole knitting aspect just was pretty funny, and just, I thought it was kind of pushing daisies, I guess.
I like that he seems really grounded compared to the other characters. He seems, maybe realistic is the wrong word, but like his approach to things seems realistic.
I definitely agree. Like, he's the one who has kind of a more logical thinking. Like, when we wake up this person, just ask him who killed him and get it over with. You have a minute. Like, just do it. And he's just very straightforward. And I really like that about him. They really do need someone whose mind is, like, in the game of detectiveness and not in the game of, like, how long should this person stay alive? Oh, my goodness. Who's going to die? Ah. You know?
Yeah. Do you have any last words? Like,
exactly.
You don't have time for last words.
I love that Chuck asks, do you have any last words? But it's so not helpful at all.
She should do that, like, at the end.
Yeah. Right?
Like, after they find out who killed him.
Exactly.
Yeah, so they could be his, literal last words.
Yes.
Because, I mean, she asks that in the beginning, and you're like, dude, we still have to find out who killed him, so they're not going to be his last words.
I love Emerson's face.
I kept getting so frustrated when they're, like, waking people up, and she'd, like, step in and, like, talk, and I'm like, no, like, I feel like Emerson's gonna, like, slap her across the face, and, like, let's just find out who killed them, and then do whatever. But, like, they only have a minute, and do they do an actual minute, like, in real time? Does anyone at all? Because I feel like
it seems
longer.
I think it's a little longer.
Like, yeah.
I wish he would slap her.
Too.
Did you say you wish he would slap her?
Yeah, there were a couple.
Are you advocating for violence now?
I mean, the show doesn't have enough violence, and the violence it does have is childish. So I wouldn't mind a slap. I mean, that's fine. So, what were you guys' like favorite scenes in the show? My favorite scene was when Olive was trying to like get all up on Ned, and she was like, do you ever get touched with affection?
Oh my god. I love when she was like feeding the dog and she's eating from the same spoon.
Yeah.
Ice cream.
Yeah. I just love how tall Lee Pace is and how tiny she is, and she like stands on the table. It's just like, so cute. I can't handle it. Yeah,
it's very apparent. I agree.
So, Christine, what's your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was when they were talking about, the claymation scene. I just think it was so cool that they just all of a sudden like had like been like stomping on these like little clay people. It was just so cool that they did that. And I'm assuming that was just like, that probably won't come back because it seems expensive, but it was really cool. I just like that.
Yeah, when they were like pretending to be monsters, I'm like, these are kind of cruel kids. Wow.
But and they like kind of like have this like cute like cartoon happening, but they're like smashing on them. It's just cool visually.
Oh yeah, definitely. Ariana?
I already talked a little bit about my favorite scene, but it was when Aunt Lily was a badass mofo and she killed the killer. So.
Yo, that was epic. What about you, Brandy?
I actually liked the funeral scene between Chuck and Ned, because it almost seemed like he was starting to get emotional once him and Emerson immediately walked into the room and he asked him to leave. And I was like, okay, I had no idea how it was going to go. And then once he opened up the casket and touched her, she, like, grabs his tie. I thought he was going to get knocked out. That's how I thought she was going to end up living. But she, like, also badass mofo got out of that casket so quick and was like,
oh, yeah, she's like, no.
Yeah, but I like that whole scene between them two. It was kind of character building And then they almost kissed, but then they didn't. And then the funeral director died in the bathroom, which I was happy about.
Oh, yeah. They did a really good job of making sure that it was a character you did not like that died in the replacement of her. I think it was kind of actually, like, if I think about it, and I'm like, if I was lying in my coffin and suddenly I wake up and, like, a childhood friend from when I was 9 just is there and I'm dead. I'm like, what's going on? What the heck?
She was so calm about it. She was like, whatever, I'm dead.
I know.
But, okay, I was a little confused. So nobody goes to her funeral? Is that what happens?
I know, because they just, her casket was leaving to get buried. And he told Emerson, I'm going to stay for the service. I'm like, okay, well, what happened to the service?
Well, but then, like, they're burying her and there's literally nobody else around.
Exactly. Yeah, well, because I believe, I guess...
Well, her aunts are recluse.
That's the only explanation I have. So their aunts are recluse. But then that doesn't explain anything about her,
like,
exes or friends or anything. Yeah.
Maybe. Or also the fact that this was, like, a giant media thing. Like, why aren't there any media trucks there?
Yeah.
Maybe it's because she was a recluse and she doesn't have that many friends, I guess. Because, like... because she wanted to stay at home and take care of her aunts. Because Jim Dale kind of explains that when her aunts got the social problem, it made her feel like she wanted to take care of them. And then she started her honey business. So I think she's not as much of a recluse as her aunts are. But I think she's still the type of person who doesn't have many friends because she was busy worrying about them and taking care of them. And it got to the point where... she was really kind of tired of staying at home, and that's why she went on the cruise, even though it was sketchy as heck. It was free, and it allowed her to get out of her home, you know? But it doesn't answer the question about the media coverage. You're right.
Because it was more convenient for nobody to be there.
Yep. So let's talk about favorite lines real quick. My favorite line in the whole show, and I don't think anyone is surprised by this, actually, is Olive talking to Ned and going, I used to think masturbation meant chewing your food. I don't think that anymore. It made me laugh.
I love
so
the
hard.
Look that they give her, and then she's like, I don't think that anymore.
Yeah. This show's actually, like, a lot more, like, there's a lot more innuendos in this show than I remembered. And it is
amazing.
Well,
yeah, the pie hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything about the show is almost so sexual. It's great. Maybe I'm the only one who thinks it's great. Christine, what was your favorite line?
My favorite line is Chuck talking to Ned. And she says, you can't just touch somebody's life and be done with it. And he says, yes, I can. That's how I roll. The dialogue, it's like quick and witty. It's just like so like... different than like what you're kind of seeing on screen, but and also I just like that he's kind of sassy.
No, yeah, I really like that line. I agree. Ariana, what's your favorite line? I don't know why I said your name that way, but Ariana, what's your line?
So, first, because this kind of ties into it, I wanted to give a little tidbit that the reason that Chuck is Jewish, Brian Fuller said, is because in the original script, she had been embalmed. And so, like, when she woke up, she was, like, throwing up all these, like, toxic juices and stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh.
So.
Nasty.
That's why they made her Jewish, because the network didn't want her throwing up.
Huh. So, interesting.
Fun fact. So gross.
Ugh. Now I'm glad that she's Jewish. Jesus.
I think it'd be kind of fun to see her, like, oh, what's
well,
this?
Like, knowing this show... her throwing up would probably be like ribbons coming out of her mouth.
Yeah, or like a rainbow.
Yeah.
But when Emerson is talking to Ned about, like, how come that guy died when she stayed alive? And he goes, it's a random proximity thing. And he goes, bitch, I was in proximity.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's true.
That's why I love Emerson. Funny. Brandy, what was your favorite line?
I liked how we were talking earlier about how Olive was talking to Ned about him not touching anybody or her, and he goes to, what's the dog's name, Digsby? Digsby?
Yeah,
Digby.
Digby.
Digby, that's it. He looks at the dog and says, "You don't mind that I don't touch you, do you?" And the dog just looks up like, "Well."
I know, yeah. He constructed a weird hand stick thing that I'm sure does not feel as good as Ned thinks it feels for the dog. Like, I'm surprised he doesn't have, like, a feather or, like, a glove or something and not a stick.
Yeah, just wear gloves, man.
Right?
I know.
Well, Ned doesn't, like, at this point in the series, Ned doesn't seem like the smartest guy in the world either, so he probably didn't think of it. But that was the pilot episode. I actually really enjoyed the pilot episode, but I totally understand why you didn't enjoy it, Ariana. Or, like, you enjoyed it, but you didn't? You did, but you don't.
No, I enjoyed it. I just expected more from it, I guess, at this point. Because everyone's like, it's so groundbreaking and great. But I felt like, I come for a show to watch characters, and I felt like the characters were not fully realized as of this episode.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that's a common thing with a lot of pilots, actually, though. Like, a lot of pilots have...
It's hard to get into pilots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why pilot season is so cutthroat. It's like, if you don't like it, then the entire show is, like, just canceled. But don't worry, you have, like, another two seasons to hopefully get some character development. Next up, we're going to talk about episode 2, Dummy. And in the synopsis, Ned and Emerson are on a mission to find out who killed a nerdy auto safety specialist, and Chuck just wants to tell his lady flower that he loved her. With the help of the pie-loving lady flower, they discover that the dummy murderer is actually the creepy professor from Veronica Mars, who is afraid of losing money if his dandelion car of the future went under due to safety concerns. Meanwhile, Olive's beautiful bromance with Digby continues, as her romance with Ned is non-existent as ever. She sings Grease songs in the diner, but gets a chance to save the day when Ned almost runs her over. And I have to say, like, the inclusion of Kristen Chenoweth singing was possibly the best part of this episode.
Definitely the best part of this episode.
I agree.
Did you guys expect that? Was that something that, like, when she started singing, were you just like, what?
No.
I was not expecting it, but I was like, thank you for being rational. If you have Kristen Chenoweth on your show, make her sing.
Exactly. And I actually recognized the murderer as, oh my goodness, I recognized him as the father from that Disney Channel original movie Twitches 2.
Oh, he's creepy in that one too.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
He's creepy in everything he's in.
I know. Yeah.
As soon as he came on, I was like, he's the bad guy, obviously. I mean, he was that weird professor from Veronica Mars, so he has to be.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of Veronica Mars, so I didn't know he was in that. So I'm glad you guys are here to make sure that that doesn't happen, and make sure that you make those references. So why does Chuck show up at the break-in in a sundress and heels?
Apparently, it's most important question.
Oh, clearly, yes.
I was like, what are you doing? You're trying to break into this high-tech facility and you're wearing heels? Good job. Thank you.
Maybe being dead made her a really good runner in heels. I feel like anything that Chuck is good at now, or anything that Chuck does that doesn't make sense, I'm just going to blame it on her being dead.
Or undead, or not undead, or whatever she is.
Yeah. Exactly. And I actually really like, there's this tension between Emerson and Chuck, and I actually really like it, like, a lot. Like, Emerson does not, he doesn't like the fact that Chuck is alive. When Chuck was alive, like, she went to the diner and sat next to him, and Olive is all like, oh, you look a lot like that dead girl. And he's like, yeah, you look exactly like that dead girl. Yeah. I like that. I think it's some character development that is important to have someone not like Chuck from the very beginning, because you can't have everyone be like, oh my god, Chuck, yay. And Olive doesn't necessarily like love Chuck either because of Ned's affections for her. So why do you think Emerson doesn't like her, though?
Well, isn't she taking some of his money, pretty much? I mean, aren't they splitting all of the profits for all of these cases now? That would be the main reason for me if I were Emerson.
So you don't think it's, like, personal on any level? You just think it's because, like, she's stealing his money?
Well, I mean, it's possible it could be more. I think that was the main thing, maybe initially. And also, it's probably against his morals. I mean, he brought her back. Well, I guess it wouldn't be against his morals, because what are they doing to begin with? I don't really know. I think it's all about the money. It's all about the Benjamins.
What I thought was really funny was that, because what you were saying about morals was, he seems like he's not, he definitely doesn't have many morals, it seems that way, but he, like, out of all the characters, is so against, like, her being alive, because it just seems like it's wrong to him.
Yeah, that's what I meant, but you just...
Yeah.
And there's a question in the doc, and I have no idea what it means, because I haven't seen whatever that is from, but
oh,
it's...
you haven't seen Les Mis?
No. Or, like, I saw in the movie, but, like...
Yeah.
I saw in the movie with someone that I was romantically involved with, so it wasn't very, I didn't really understand the movie very much. Is the question for listeners who are confused at this point, is Olive the Eponine of this show?
And has anyone seen Les Mis? Otherwise it doesn't make any sense.
Oh yeah, no, definitely I have.
Okay.
Oh yeah,
I think that's what they're trying to make her out to be. But I hope that she's more than just that, hopefully.
For anyone who has not seen Les Mis or was distracted during Les Mis, can you explain what Eponine, like, what that means? Because I know Eponine is a character, but, like, what makes them so similar? Like, what do
you... Okay, so there's this love triangle in Les Mis, and there's the guy and then his, like, best friend, this, like, spunky little Eponine who's, like, runs around in the dirt. Because she's poor. And then he falls in love with this beautiful Amanda Seyfried character who's like a little bird and she lives in her little castle. And so people generally, they tend to like Eponine more because she's like spunky and the underdog. And the other two like just met and whatever.
Oh,
so,
okay. I get it.
I just feel like while watching the show, I felt like I felt a lot more for Olive. Maybe because she's Kristen Chenoweth. But also just, I was like, she does so much for him and she's so cute and she loves his dog and he just like treats her like crap. He does not care about her at all.
Yeah, when she comes over to talk and they're all talking about like some dead people business and Olive comes over and he's just like, pie time. And she's like, pie time. And she walks away to go work, which I thought was pretty cool. Like, you're right.
They're
he doesn't treat Olive very well at all. And Olive is still like, oh my goodness, I love you. You're amazing.
Like, I get it if he's not into her, but he can be a little, like, he definitely uses her to watch his dog, if nothing else. And he doesn't treat her like a friend.
Yeah.
No, she's just there.
Her character as well. It sucks being able to, like, talk about the show and not talk about, like, the future, because I'm like, I just want to say so many things. But I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And talk about, actually, a really good question was the, one of the characters in the show was bulimic. And I was just wondering, do you guys think it was handled properly? Like, the fact that she did what she did?
I didn't really understand the purpose of her being bulimic in the first place.
Yeah, there was zero purpose for it. It, like, didn't bring the story anywhere.
No,
like.
And they kind of played it as a joke, which made me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, I agree.
I felt really uncomfortable about it, too. And she, because she was, like, this happy girl, and then when Chuck is sitting in the backseat of the car, she kind of, you know, brought the realness down, saying, yeah, well, it's a completely different story when she's in the bathroom. And I was like, I didn't even think they would go there, but they did. And then when the car blew up, and the laxatives? It kind of made me feel a bit uncomfortable.
It was a totally pointless kind of, like, addition.
Yeah, it didn't bring anything to the story.
No.
It's like if she had a problem with her boyfriend or a problem with her life, and, like, it was because she was bulimic that she had these problems, then it would have made more sense. But, like, they just kind of, like, added on, like, here's this character, here's what she's doing, oh, and she's bulimic. Yeah, I totally agree. But other than the bulimic flower girl, do you guys think that the characters are more three-dimensional in this episode as they were in the previous episode? Like, did you see a little bit more character development, or like them more so than the pilot? Like, I guess specifically for Ariana, since you didn't, like, you enjoyed the pilot, but you wish the characters were more well-rounded. Like, did you get any more enjoyment from the characters in this episode, I guess?
Kind of. I mean, I guess as I think of him with Chuck in the sundress and heels to go break into the thing, I think has like a deeper meaning to it in my subconscious, and that I do feel like they are playing her still as a caricature and like as this kind of 50s perfect girl that like it really is not necessary for her to be in heels all the time. And so I feel I still want her to be characterized more. And I guess Ned, but Ned is kind of a flat character at the moment. But I really do enjoy Emerson and Olive. I think that they're great.
You know, I think Ned is more, I actually disagree with you saying that he's a flat character. I think he's one of the more rounded characters. Just because I think Ned having these trust issues and now having someone that he's kind of loved since he was 9, I think that brings like a lot to his character. I think the fact that like he doesn't want to touch people and he's very self-reserved, and when he does touch someone, it's someone who doesn't want to be touched, and he's really nervous, and like, but he also has like this business sense, so he's like, oh well, I guess I can help Emerson out and actually make a little money and help my pie business. And like the fact that he loves pies because his mother was baking a pie when she died. You know, like, I think there are a lot of things about Ned that kind of round him more so than anything about Chuck that rounds her as a character, you know?
Yeah.
So I actually really like Ned's character a lot, so in these two episodes, at least. And I gotta say, like, each episode, they're gonna, like, go through, like, murder mystery kind of things, and like it gets different as the show progresses, but I have to say I love the style of the murder investigations, and just the fact that like when a car blows up, when the girl's in it, she's just in a body cast and not blown to pieces.
Yeah, I loved when Chuck like put makeup on her.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. So like I love this show. It's totally a show that you can show like a little kid and they'll see it and they'll not understand anything that's going on, but they'll love it because of the colors. Yeah. And the ridiculousness.
I love their little dandelion headdresses.
Yes,
those were pretty awesome.
Right. And hey, an idea of a dandelion car, like a car that runs off dandelions, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty yeah, cool. It's if pretty only eccentric. It didn't like have an off chance of maybe possibly blowing up if you go 70 miles an hour with the radio on and the heat seater on low.
Yeah.
I have a question. So those dead bodies hanging there,
uh-huh,
where did they come from?
Oh,
I think those were, they said that they like, it's almost like an organ donor kind of thing. It seemed
oh,
like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it
so
was
like
a,
they, before you die, you're like, you can use my body to crash cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they all signed a release. Yeah. And on the release, yeah, it said you can do this to me, blah blah blah, which they weren't very smart when they signed that.
No.
Oh, so they were like for to be used as crash test dummies.
Yeah, yeah, because yeah, they got rid of the crash test dummies because the whole thing was like the guy, the evil guy from Veronica Mars and Twitches, he was like, he realized what was happening with the cars, and so in order to hide this and still sell these cars, he wanted to get rid of the dummies because the dummies would record what happened in the vehicle, like if they got cracked or hit or whatnot. And mm-hmm, so if he got rid of the dummies, then there'd be no evidence about the car being terrible. So,
I see.
Yeah, that's why he was evil in this show. He's evil in a whole bunch of other shows, but that's why he was evil in this show. Did you guys have any questions about the episode or like the characters or like any specific thing that you saw come up in this episode? Or, like, what did you guys think about the show so far?
Well, I love the guy in the morgue. How he's always like, mm-hmm. Oh, weren't you the dog guy?
Yes. Like, I love hilarious. That. I wanted to bring that up so much. Thank you for reminding me. I just,
yeah,
they go to the morgue, and every time they're different people. And the guy's like, mm-hmm. But he still lets them in.
Yeah, I definitely want to see more of him.
What about you, Christine?
Yeah, I want to see way more of Emerson. I'm hoping we get more background on him. And maybe Chuck, don't want to dislike her as much as I do, but I realized something about her just bothers me. And she's, like, encroaching on their, like, business and, like, not helping them, really. like when they wake these dead bodies, she's like interrupting them, and it just bothers me. But other than that, I'm really just excited. I feel like I don't really like, what are they like? What's the term? Like case episodes? Like,
yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
I'm not normally, I like a big arc more, but I'm actually really enjoying this, and I like the cases. Like, they're quirky and different. Yeah, to be interested, which I like.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. When I started this show, the whole like murder of the week thing kind of like bugged me. But I think there's a lot of this in the show that you'll see and you'll kind of get hooked on, and you'll be like, ooh. I mean, there's a reason that so many people want this show back. So I think you guys will love it a lot. Like, what I love most about this show is just the fact that it's so colorful. I'm like a really happy person. For anyone who doesn't know me, I'm like this little child in like this 23-year-old body who's also ridiculously inappropriate. And so this... and this show is perfect because it's like colorful and childish and ridiculously inappropriate at times, and it's just like, it's great. So I love this show, and I think you guys are going to learn or eventually come to love it as well. And before we end the episode, let's just get with our favorite scenes from this episode. My favorite scene was the scene where the girl was in the body cast, and she was just like the fact that she was in a body cast and not dead, and the fact that she had makeup on her body cast. I thought that was just fantastic. And she was like, do I look good? And Ned's like, yeah, you look great. Christine, what's your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was with young Ned, which also, side note, I kind of love any time that they've been using young Ned because he's so cute. But also when he brings the frogs back to life in the classroom to, like, get his revenge.
Yes.
It just, like, kind of just adds more character, like, development to him. Just that he's, like, a prankster. Like, it's more than him just being, like, I bake pies and I'm adorable. Like.
No, I totally agree. Ariana, what's your favorite line or scene?
My favorite scene is when Kristen Chenoweth just suddenly and inexplicably breaks into song. And then I love when she awkwardly, like, back dances with the janitor who's completely oblivious to her.
Yeah.
And then, Brandy, your favorite scene?
I already mentioned the Lady Flowers dandelion headdresses, which were awesome. But I liked the body bag makeout session.
My goodness.
I figured at least he can somehow kiss her, finally.
If you like the body bag makeout session, just wait. Just you wait.
Oh, God. Should I be scared?
Maybe a little bit.
Okay. I'm excited now.
Okay, so what about lines? I don't want to go first because Brandy and I have the same favorite line. So, Christine, what's your favorite line?
Mine is Chuck is talking to Ned, and she says, Emerson thinks I'm useless. Am I useless? And Ned says, no, you're not useless. Useless is an empty soap dispenser in the restroom, standing around, reminding people that you could, what you could be doing, but doing nothing at all. Also, they talk so fast, which I love, and just so witty. It just, I love it.
Yeah.
The dialogue is superb.
Yep, the dialogue is one of the best things about the show, I gotta say. Ariana, what's your favorite line?
So mine is the Emerson and Chuck little exchange when he's talking about how he got his ID card, and he says, contacted the company that makes these doors under false pretenses. They gave me a sample ID badge, which I digitally altered using the magnetic code that matches the serial number of this machine. Is that cheating? And then Chuck goes, I don't know. Is this? I gave the security guard a hug goodbye. My upper body distracted him while these things I call handheld.
Yeah. Chuck is great. Like, I love that. Like, Emerson's like, ho, 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 I did this. And Chuck's like, yeah, well, I did this. I think it goes to show, it's like a little hint of what Chuck can do as well. I think you guys are gonna like the character development that Chuck gets later in the season. Brandy, what is your favorite line? Because it's also my favorite line.
Well, our favorite line was when they were in the car. And actually, right after they spoke about the Jeanette's bulimia, but Ned says, I hate secrets, too. And Chuck goes, what? You love secrets. You want to marry secrets and have little half-secret, half-human babies.
It's so great, because it's so true. Like, he has so many secrets, even though, like, he might think he hates the idea of secrets, he doesn't realize how many secrets he has.
His face when she said that was priceless.
Yeah. Oh, man. This show's great. I actually, like, I'm so glad we're doing this show, because it's one of my favorites. And I hope you guys are liking it as much as I am so far.
I can see where it's going. I can see, I like the first two episodes. It's not the type of show I normally watch. I'm more into, I watch a lot of law shows and, like, sci-fi, scarier horror shows. So this is very different than what I'm used to. But I like the comedic aspect of it, and like Christine said, you know, all of their witty lines are spoken really fast, and that's almost how you know it's going to be, you know, a funny witty line, and you know, I can see where it's going, and I like it. I'm definitely going to stick with it and see how it goes.
And we have some listener feedback for the episode and the show in general as much as well. So we will start with Twitter from Michael, and his username is...
An Eagle's Lament.
Ah, thank you. Huh, that was great.
He's a regular tweeter. He's a regular tweeter, and I recognize him.
Okay, got it. So Michael says, I remember watching the Daisies pilot when it aired and not following up on it 7 years ago. Time to fix this grave injustice. Yes. Definitely. It is definitely time to fix that injustice. And we're glad that you're fixing it with us, because we love you. And then we have two other comments, if any of you guys want to read the comments from Hypeable.
Sure, I'll take Susan Lyon's comment. She says, I adore this show so, so much. I'm excited to hear your thoughts about it. Just hearing the music brings me joy. It does have a great soundtrack, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was really nice to see on Hypeable listeners now, too, with Pushing Daisies. So that'll be exciting. So hopefully we'll keep our Veronica Mars friends and make new Pushing Daisies friends, too.
I'm just ignoring the Veronica Mars people because I didn't watch that show. And then we have one more comment if someone wants to grab the hand.
The Good Ship to Steal. Started rewatching with my husband a couple weeks ago in preparation. I watched it when it was airing, but he had never seen it and is, of course, loving it. Although he can't believe it's the same creator as one of our favorite shows, Hannibal.
Yeah, did you guys know that this person who created Hannibal created Pushing Daisies?
No, I didn't, and I absolutely love Hannibal.
Really?
Yes, that's more my type of show.
See, I really want to get into Hannibal, but I have like 30 other shows I need to keep on top of.
Of course.
But yeah, those two shows are immensely different. Like, while like Hannibal takes the idea of like death and gore and really like it's so adult and so gritty, Pushing Daisies totally just makes it for children and colors it up a lot. So it's two very different shows, and I don't think anyone really would notice that they're from the same person unless you watch both of them. But I believe that is it for the episode. We've just finished discussing episodes 1 and 2, and next week we will be discussing episodes 3 and 4, and our hosts will be different as well, because we have 12 people on this podcast, and we want to make sure that everyone has an equal chance to record. So, until we see you next time, I'm Kyle.
I'm Christine.
I'm Mariana.
And I'm Brandy.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.